listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We're going back to the Progressive Guest Line to talk NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Knotted up at one with Boston's 25-point win last night in Miami. Tonight it is game two between Dallas and Golden State out in San Francisco. Veteran NBA writer Chris Sheridan again joining us on our Progressive Guest Line here on Wake Up Call and Sports Map Radio. How are you, Chris?
Good, Tony. Do you hear that loud noise?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Adam Silver yelling at the referees, give me a close game.
Right. That's interesting. I keep thinking every single one of these games is like some sort of 20-point, 15-point, 25-point blowout. Is this just teams packing it up in the fourth quarter and going, all right, we'll live to fight another day?
You know, every game is different, and there's really no telling what you're going to get from one day to the next. But it is quite rare to see, you know, three blowouts in a row. And then, you know, coming off what happened with the Bucks and the Celtics in Game 7, which was also a blowout, the Grant Williams show, we just need a close basketball game, or we're all going to be talking about the PGA Championship over the rest of the weekend.
All right, so this series is tied up at one between the Celtics and the Heat. But based on how, if you were to go to the cumulative eight quarters, how do you see both teams so far in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, look, Jimmy Butler is going to be Jimmy Butler, and you know he's the engine that makes Miami go. He's going to be right around 29 points a game, right where he was last night. The question always for Miami to me is, what are they going to get out of Bam Adebayo? They only got 6 points out of him last night, and they got a bad game one from him also. And because they don't have Kyle Lowry, they're not getting offense out of the point guard position. Although Gabe Vincent gave him 14 last night, and they just don't have a go-to secondary scorer, and Bam Adebayo should really be that guy. He's a terrific, terrific defensive player, and he's also a very skilled offensive player. He's just not showing it. And when that game got away from them yesterday, he was one of the guys that was milk carton material. So, look, they also have Victor Oladipo, who's coming off a pair of quad injuries, and he's become pretty much an irrelevant NBA player. But coming out of Indiana, and when he was first in the league, you know, this was a very, very highly regarded player, and Eric Spoelstra did use him for 26 minutes last night, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him turn to Victor Oladipo a little bit more, especially since Max Strus didn't give him a whole lot last night, just 2-for-7 from the field. They were all three-point shots, and he finished with 6 points.
How did you make of how Boston responded in Game 2 after getting blown out in the third quarter of Game 1? Obviously, they got two players back, but how did they change strategy-wise in terms of Game 2?
They feed off Marcus Smart's energy. And, you know, having Marcus Smart back on the court is enormous. But Marcus Smart, you know, kind of challenged everybody. And you saw them kind of take that to heart last night. The run that they had in the midway through the first quarter was really a dominant run. They were just scoring every time up and down the court. They were down 18-8, and then all of a sudden they were up 10. You know, and if you stepped away to get a slice of pizza, you missed most of it. But they have more really good offensive players than Boston or than Miami does, Tony, and that's one of the reasons why the sports books are making Boston a huge favorite to win this series. You know, Tatum at 27, Smart 24, Brown 24, and when Grant Williams came in and replaced Robert Williams in the first quarter, that made a huge difference last night. And Grant Williams ended up a plus 37 with 19 points. The other guy that his plus minus number is just ridiculous is Peyton Pritchard. 23 minutes, he was a plus 39. So these are game changing type of stat players who could come in and show that Boston has a deeper team than Miami does. And now it's on Eric Spoelstra to find somebody, who's it going to be, who's going to just ease the burden on Jimmy Butler offensively.
So Miami wins the Eastern Conference regular season. They're the number one seed, and yet everyone seemed to talk about, here's what Milwaukee's going to do, and what is Brooklyn going to do with Kyrie now playing in all these games, and the Celtics are the best team in the second half, and the list goes on. Philadelphia with James Harden. Miami goes rather unnoticed in all of this. Is this a team that had some flaws that people thought would come out in a postseason in a seven-game series? Or is this a team that just was under the radar as the number one seed and we don't really know why?
Probably more of the latter, and that's kind of, you know, mystifying to me, because they did go to the NBA Finals 2 years ago with more or less the same roster. You know, there's a couple new faces. Duncan Robinson doesn't start anymore. Max Strus does, and Duncan Robinson's kind of fallen off the grid. And Miami's a system team. They always have been a system team, and they play Eric Spoelstra's system very, very well. But they got to have certain guys available. And when they lost P.J. Tucker in the second quarter last night, that hurt them. That's really their kind of their craftiest, and I want to use a good word for the radio. the guy's got cojones, okay? And he trash-talked to Kevin Durant's mother last year in the playoffs when he was on Milwaukee. And there's a reason Miami went and got him from the Bucks, because you need a kind of a crazy guy to fuel you and to get in the heads of your opponents. And P.J. Tucker is certainly that guy. And you add a great defender to a team that already has a great defensive scheme. You know, Miami's built upon defense, and it just makes them all that much better. But the guy got hurt in the second quarter, and they didn't really have anybody to replace him. There's only, you know, a handful of P.J. Tuckers and Patrick Beverleys out there, and you lose a guy like that, he's sort of irreplaceable. So let's see if he can bounce back in time for Saturday night's Game 3. If not, they're certainly going to need a Monday night in Game 4, because Boston, I think, right now is the better team, and that's why you're seeing the sportsbooks make the Celtics a heavy favorite to win this series.
I don't know what the NBA equivalent is to the old baseball cliche that momentum is only good as your next day's starter, but whatever it is, it happened to Dallas. They had won 4 of 5 in that last closing out Phoenix, and then they got completely taken out of their game in Game 1 against Golden State. How did the Warriors do that?
Well, number one, they defended Luka Doncic really, really well. You never see Luka Doncic have more turnovers than buckets, but you saw that in Game 1. He had 7 turnovers and 6 buckets. And Jason Kidd, I think, went a little bit too deep. He played 13 guys. Generally, this late in the playoffs, you see coaches shorten their rotation. They go with 7 or 8 guys. And I think you'll see that out of Jason tonight. I think the problem with Dallas, and it's always going to be a problem when you have a dominant superstar like Doncic, who has to be ball dominant, your offense is always going to run through the guy. But if you're also prone to turnovers, who's the secondary guy you can sort of run your offense through to free Doncic off the ball? And Jalen Brunson could be that guy. Spencer Dinwiddie could be that guy. Heck, Trey Burke could even be that guy. He's a pretty good point guard when he gets a little bit of run. But that's one of the things I would look for tonight in Game 2 of Golden State Dallas, is for the Mavericks to put the ball in the hands of somebody else a little more often, so that Doncic doesn't always have to bring it up court and initiate the offense. Because we saw with the way Kevon Looney defended him, and Draymond got a couple shots at him, and Clay got a couple shots at him, that Steve Kerr told his team, look, if we stop this guy, there's nobody else on that team who's like a go-to scorer. Nobody has stepped up for that team the entire playoffs. So let's make sure that we flustered Luka and make him turn the ball over and see who else they got who's going to, you know, possibly hurt us. I don't really see anybody else on that team that's killing it over the course of the playoffs. They're totally a leaky faucet team because they run so hot and cold. But they also, Tony, they take a ton of threes. They took 48 threes in Game 1. And if Dorian Finney-Smith or Reggie Bullock or Spencer Dinwiddie gets hot from three-point range, you know, they could be right in it. So, again, it's only a Game 1, and Game 2 is always an adjustment game. And we're early in the conference finals. And I don't think we're not going to get a sweep in the Boston-Miami series, and I don't think we're going to get a Golden State sweep either, although I think Golden State is kind of head and shoulders above Dallas. It's going to be really a measure of how well can Jason Kidd adjust as a coach and how well can Luka Doncic adjust to maybe playing just a little bit differently than he's accustomed to.
I want to ask you about the core three at Golden State, because for a lot of basketball fans or player people who are just kind of getting into the playoffs and whatnot, this is a core group that's been around in our basketball lives for a while. They've had a couple of years off, but they've been a presence at this time of year. Yes, they won titles with Durant, but there's some tread on the tires of Curry, Thompson, and Green. But how similar is the way they're playing today from when they were winning titles with and without Durant those years before?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, Durant made them such a different team because he's the guy could get you 40 on every night, and he often did that with Golden State. And they were, you know, they were just super, super loaded. What's different, what I'm seeing that's different is, you know, Klay Thompson still isn't 100%. And he's had some really, really spectacular games, especially the last two against Memphis. But he was only 1-for-4 on threes in game one against Dallas. Compare that to the game six against Memphis, he was 8-for-14. The game before that, he was 3-for-6. But then the game prior to that, he was 0-for-7. There's a hot and cold factor with Klay Thompson that's going to come from him getting his legs back. The guy, look, we know what he can do when he is 100%, but he's coming off an Achilles injury. And that's a really, Kevin Durant, it took him forever to come off it. And I think Klay is still just a little bit tentative. And so we're not seeing the Klay Thompson that we saw 3, 4, 5 years ago, but the talent and the skill is certainly there. I think there's just a little bit of rust still, that has to be kicked off, and he's still got plenty of time to do it. You know, the finals don't start until June 2nd. We're going to be talking basketball for a full month. Then we have the draft, and then we have free agency. So basketball kind of never ends. But it's in terms of, you know, the Golden State and what else makes them different now from what they were then. I guess the other thing I would point to is Draymond isn't scoring as much as he used to. They didn't have to get heavy minutes out of him in game one. He was a plus 25 in 29 minutes. But Draymond is kind of as important to Golden State in terms of being a team leader and a defensive presence as maybe Marcus Smart is to Boston. So, look, they are what they are. They're the best team out there. And I don't think anybody's going to make an argument that there's anybody out there better than Golden State. But Dallas has proven to be really, really resilient. You know, look what they did when they were counted out against the Phoenix Suns. Last Sunday morning, they were 100-1 to win the title. 100-1. After game seven, they were 11-2. Wow. You don't see odds drop like that, but that's the way the odds dropped in just one day. So Dallas has been surprising people and coming back from the dead a lot, and I wouldn't count them out of this series by any means.
NBA veteran writer Chris Sheridan joining us on Wake Up Call. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate your time this morning.
All right, thanks for having me on, Tony.
You got it. And as we continue along on Wake Up Call, hey, a reminder, Free All Deep Penetrating Oil delivers 3 times more lubricant. It takes less spray and less torque and less time. That's important than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Free All is also body shop safe. It means it's safe on paint, plastic parts. It's silicon free. Plus, you can find it on the shelves at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Napa, select Walmart stores. Again, if you got that project that includes rusty chains and gears or rusted machine screws or stuck ball joints or fuel tank removal, you know where you can find help? Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Again, less spray, less torque, less time. And again, it's body shop safe. Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Wrap it up when we come back. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.